Charles Spurgeon's Prayers. Prayer. Called boldness at the throne of grace. O God, we would not speak to you as from a distance, nor stand like trembling Israel under the law at a distance from the burning mount. For we have not come on the Mount Sinai, but on the Mount Zion. And that is a place for holy joy and thankfulness, and not for terror and bondage. Blessed be thy name, O Lord. We have learned to call you our Father, which art in heaven. So there is reverence, for you are in heaven. But there is sweet familiarity, for you are our Father. We would draw very near to you now through Jesus Christ, the Mediator. And we would make bold to speak to you as a man speaks with his friend. For have you not said, by your Spirit, let us come boldly unto the throne of the heavenly grace? We might well start away and flee from your face if we only remembered our sinfulness. Lord, we do remember it with shame and sorrow. We are grieved to think we should have offended you, should have neglected so long your sweet love and tender mercy. But we have now returned unto the Shepherd and Bishop of our souls. Led by such grace, we look to him whom we crucified, and we have mourned for him, and then have mourned for our sin. Now, Lord, we confess our guilt before you with tenderness of heart, and we pray, seal home to every believer here that full and free, that perfect and irreversible charter of forgiveness which you gave to all of them that put their trust in Jesus Christ. Lord, you have said it. If we confess our sins, you are merciful and just to forgive us our sins and to save us from all unrighteousness. There is a sin confessed. There is a ransom accepted. We therefore know we have peace with God, and we bless that glorious one who has come to finish transgression, to make an end of sin, to bring in everlasting righteousness, which righteousness by faith we take to ourselves, and you impute unto us. Now, Lord, will you be pleased to cause all your children's hearts to dance within them for joy? Oh, help your people to come to Jesus again today. May we be looking to him today as we did at the first. May we never take off our eyes from his divine person, from his infinite merit, from his finished work, from his living power, or from the expectancy of his speedy coming to judge the world in righteousness and the people with his truth. Bless all your people with some special gift, and if we might make a choice of one, it would be this: quicken us, O Lord, according to your word. We have life. Give it to us more abundantly. Oh, that we might have so much life that out of the midst of us there might flow rivers of living water. Lord, make us useful. Dear Savior, use the very least among us. Take the one talent and let it be put out to interest for the great Father. May it please you to show each one of us what you would have us to do. In our families, in our business, in the walks of ordinary life, may we be serving the Lord, and may we often speak a word for your name, and help in some way to scatter the light amongst the ever-growing darkness. And ere we go hence, may we have some sown seed which we shall bring with us on our shoulders in the form of sheaves of blessing. O God, bless our Sunday schools, and give a greater interest in such work that there may be no lack of men and women who shall be glad and happy in a work of teaching the young. Impress us, we pray, upon your people just now. Move men who have gifts and ability also to preach the gospel. There are many that live in villages, and there is no gospel preaching near them. Lord, set them preaching themselves. will you move some hearts so powerfully that their tongues cannot be quiet any longer. And may they attempt in some way, either personally or by supporting someone, to bring the gospel into dark, benighted hamlets, that the people may know the truth. Lord, stir up the dwellers in this great, great city. Oh, arouse us to the spiritual destitution of the masses. Oh, God, help us by all means, by any means, by every means, to get at the ears of men for Christ's sake, that so we may reach their hearts. We would send up an exceeding great and bitter cry to you on behalf of the millions that enter no place of worship and despise its blessed message. Lord, wake up London, we beseech you. Send us another Jonah. Send us another John the Baptist. Oh, that Christ himself would send forth multitudes of laborers amongst the thick standing corn. For the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are so few. Oh, God, save this city, save this country, save all countries, and let your kingdom come. May every knee bow and confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Our most earnest prayers go up to heaven to you now for great sinners, for men and women that are polluted and depraved by the filthiest of sins. With sovereign mercy, make a raid amongst them. Come and capture some of these, that they may become great lovers of him that shall forgive them, and may they become great champions for the cross. Look, Lord, upon the multitudes of rich people in the city that know nothing about the gospel and do not wish to know. Oh, that somehow the poor rich might be rich with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And then, Lord, look upon the multitude of the poor and the working class that think religion to be a perfectly unnecessary thing for them. Do by some means, we pray, get them to think and bring them to listen, that faith may come by hearing and hearing by your word. Above all, O Holy Spirit, descend more mightily. Would God you would flood the land until there should be streams of righteousness. For is there not a promise, I will pour water upon him that is thirsty, and floods upon the dry ground? Lord, set your people praying. Stir up the church to greater prayerfulness. Now, as you have bidden us, we pray for the people among whom we dwell. We pray for those in authority in the land, asking every blessing for the sovereign and your guidance and direction to the parliament. Your benediction to all judges and rulers is also upon the poorest of the poor and the lowest of the low. Lord, bless the people. Let the people praise you, O God. Yea, let all the people praise you for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen. The following prayer is taken from The Rise and Progress of Religion in the Soul by Philip Doddridge. It is called The Established Christian Breathing After More Extensive Usefulness. O bountiful Father and sovereign author of all good, whether natural or spiritual, I bless you for the various talents which you have enriched on such undeserving creatures as we are and acknowledge ourselves to be. My soul is in the deepest confusion before you, when I consider to how little purpose I have hitherto improved them. Alas, what have I done in proportion to what then might as reasonably have been expected with the gifts of nature which you have bestowed upon me, with my capacities of life, with my time, with my talents, with my possessions, with my influence over others. Alas, through my own negligence and folly, I look back on a barren wilderness where I might have seen a fruitful field and a spring harvest. Justly do I indeed deserve to be stripped of all, to be brought to an immediate account for all, to be condemned as in many respects unfaithful to you and to the world and to my own soul, and in consequence of that condemnation to be cast into the prison of eternal darkness. But you, Lord, have freely forgiven the dreadful debt of 10,000 talents. Adored be your name for it. Accept, O Lord, accept that renewed surrender which I would now make of myself and of all I have to your service. I acknowledge that it is of your own that I give you. Make me, I beseech you, a faithful steward for my great Lord. And may I think of no separate interest of my own in opposition to yours. I adore you, O God of all grace. If while I am thus speaking to you, I feel the love of your creatures arising in my soul, if I feel my heart opening to embrace my brethren of mankind, O make me your faithful almoner, in distributing to them all that you have lodged in my hand for their relief. And in determining what is my own share, may I hold the balance with an equal hand, and judge impartially between myself and them. The proportion you allow may I thankfully take for myself, and those who are immediately mine. The rest may I distribute with wisdom and fidelity and cheerfulness. Guide my hand, O ever-merciful Father, while you do me the honor to make me your instrument in dealing out a few of your bounties, that I may bestow them where they are most needed and where they will answer the best end. And if it be your gracious will, multiply the seed sown. Prosper me in my worldly affairs, that I may have more to impart to them that need it. And thus lead me on to the region of everlasting plenty and everlasting benevolence. There may I meet with many to whom I have been an affectionate benefactor on earth. And if it be your blessed will, with many whom I also have been the means of conducting into the path to that blissful abode, there may they entertain me in their habitations of glory. And in time and eternity, do, Lord, accept the praise of all through Jesus Christ, at whose feet I would bow, and at whose feet, after the most useful course, I would at last die, with as much humility as if I were then exerting the first act of faith upon him, and had never had any opportunity by one tribute of obedience and gratitude in the services of life to approve its sincerity. From Archibald Alexander, Thoughts on Religious Experience, a prayer for one who feels that he is approaching the borders of another world. O most merciful God, I rejoice that you reign over the universe with a sovereign sway, so that you do according to your will in the armies of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. You are the maker of my body and father of my spirit, and you have a perfect right to dispose of me in that manner which will most effectually promote your glory. And I know that whatsoever you do is right and wise and just and good. And whatever may be my eternal destiny, I rejoice in the assurance that your great name will be glorified in me. But as you have been pleased to reveal your mercy and your grace to our fallen, miserable world, and as the word of this salvation has been preached to me, inviting me to accept of eternal life upon the gracious terms of the gospel, I do cordially receive the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior and only Redeemer, believing sincerely the whole testimony which you have given respecting his divine character, his real incarnation, his unspotted and holy life, his numerous and beneficent miracles, his expiatory and meritorious death and his glorious resurrection and ascension. I believe also in his supreme exaltation in his prevalent intercession for his chosen people, and his affectionate care and aid afforded to his suffering members here below, and in his second coming to receive his humble followers to dwell with himself in heaven, and to take vengeance on his obstinate enemies. My only hope and confidence of being saved rest simply on the mediatorial work and prevailing intercession of the Lord Jesus Christ, in consequence of which the Holy Spirit is graciously sent to make application of Christ's redemption by working faith in us and repentance to life, and rendering us fit for the heavenly inheritance by sanctifying us in the whole man, soul, body, and spirit. Grant, gracious God, that the rich blessings of the new covenant may be freely bestowed on your unworthy servant. I acknowledge that I have no claim to your favor on account of any goodness in me by nature, for alas, there dwells in me, that is, in my flesh, no good thing, nor on account of any works of righteousness done by me, for all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. Neither am I able to make atonement for any one of my innumerable transgressions, which I confess before you are not only many in number, but heinous in their nature, justly deserving your displeasure and wrath, so that if I were immediately sent to hell, you would be altogether just in my condemnation. Although I trust that I have endeavored to serve you with some degree of sincerity, yet whatever good thing I have ever done or even thought, I ascribe entirely to your grace, without which I can do nothing acceptable in your sight. And I am deeply convinced that my best duties have fallen far short of the perfection of your law, and have been so mingled with sin in the performance that I might justly be condemned for the most fervent prayer I ever made. And I would confess with shame and contrition that I am not only chargeable with sin in the act, but that there is a law in my members warring against the law of my mind, aiming to bring me into captivity to the law of sin and death. This corrupt nature is a source of innumerable evil thoughts and desires, and damps the exercise of faith and love, and stands in the way of well-doing, so that when I would do good, evil is present with me. And so deep and powerful is this remaining depravity that all efforts to eradicate or subdue it are vain without the aid of divine grace. And when at any time I obtain a glimpse of the depth and turpitude of the sin of my nature, I am overwhelmed and constrained to exclaim with holy Job, "I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes." And now, righteous Lord God Almighty, I would not attempt to conceal any of my actual transgressions, however vile and shameful they are, but would penitently confess them before you, and would plead in my defense nothing but the perfect righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ, who died the just for the unjust, to bring us near to you. For his sake alone do I ask or expect the rich blessings necessary to my salvation. For although I am unworthy, he is most worthy. Though I have no righteousness, he is provided by his expiatory death, and by his holy life, a complete justifying righteousness, in which spotless robe I pray that I may be clothed, so that you, my righteous judge, will see no sin in me, but will acquit me from every accusation and justify me freely by your grace, through the righteousness of my Lord and Savior, with whom you are ever well pleased. And my earnest prayer is that Jesus may save me from my sins as well as from their punishment, that I may be redeemed from all iniquity as well as from the condemnation of your law, that the work of sanctification may be carried on in my soul by your word and spirit until it be perfected at your appointed time. And grant, O Lord, that as long as I am in the body, I may make it my constant study and chief aim to glorify your name, both with soul and body, which are no longer mine, but yours. For I am bought with a price, not with silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Enable me to let my light so shine that others, seeing my good works, may be led to glorify your name. Oh, make use of me as a humble instrument of advancing your kingdom on earth and promoting the salvation of immortal souls. If you have appointed sufferings for me here below, I beseech you to consider my weakness, and let your chastisements be those of a loving Father, that I may be made partaker of your holiness. And let me not be tempted above what I am able to bear, but will with the temptation make a way to escape. O most merciful God, cast me not off in the time of old age. Forsake me not when my strength declines. Now when I am old and gray-headed, don't forsake me, but let your grace be sufficient for me, and enable me to bring forth fruit even in old age. May my hoary head be found in the ways of righteousness. Preserve my mind from dotage and imbecility, and my body from protracted disease and excruciating pain. Deliver me from despondency and discouragement in my declining years, and enable me to bear affliction with patience, fortitude, and perfect submission to your holy will. Lift upon me perpetually the light of your reconciled countenance, and cause me to rejoice in your salvation and in the hope of your glory. May the peace that passes all understanding be constantly diffused through my soul, so that my mind may remain calm through all the storms and vicissitudes of life. As in the course of nature, I must be drawn near to my end. And as I know I must soon put off this tabernacle, I do humbly and earnestly beseech you, Father of mercies, to prepare me for this inevitable and solemn event. Fortify my mind against the terrors of death. Give me, if it please you, an easy passage through the gate of death. Dissipate the dark clouds and mists which naturally hang over the grave, and lead me gently down into the gloomy valley. O my kind shepherd, who has tasted the bitterness of death for me, and who knows how to sympathize with and succor the sheep of your pasture, be thou present to guide, to support, and to comfort me. Illumine with beams of heavenly light the valley of the shadow of death, so that I may fear no evil. When heart and flesh fail, be the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Let not my courage fail in the trying hour. Don't permit the great adversary to harass my soul in the last struggle, but make me a conqueror, and more than a conqueror in this fearful conflict. I humbly ask that my reason may be continued to the last, and if it be your will, that I may be so comforted and supported that I may leave a testimony in favor of the reality of religion and your faithfulness in fulfilling your gracious promises, and that others of your servants who may follow after may be encouraged by my example to commit themselves boldly to the guidance and keeping of the Shepherd of Israel. And when my spirit leaves this clay tenement, Lord Jesus, receive it. Send some of the blessed angels to convoy inexperienced soul to the mansion which your love has prepared. And oh, let me be so situated, though in the lowest rank, that I may behold your glory. May I have an abundant entrance administered to me into the kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, for whose sake and in whose name I ask all of these things. Amen.